We're going through the series on the Gospel of Mark. I invite you to open with me to the Gospel of Mark, the Pew Bible. It's page 839. We will read from chapter 4, where Jesus brings some parables. Actually, there are not so many parables in the Gospel of Mark. I believe only 5 or 6, maybe 4. So some stories maybe do not fall under category of parables, so that's why some people say 4, some people say 6. But anyway, here, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, from verse 21. Please give diligent attention to the reading of God's holy word. And he said to them, "Is a lamb brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Thus far, God's holy word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, grant us understanding of your living word. Shine the light into our hearts that we may shine the light of Christ your Son in this dark world. Help us to hear now what you have to say. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the passage before us, we have three parables where Mark speaks of the triumphant kingdom. Mark didn't record many of Jesus' parables, as I said, only a few. But Matthew has 15, and Luke has 19, and John has none. But Mark, here, we have very few. As I mentioned last week, that a parable is a story where two things are thrown next to each other. For example, earthly things and with the meaning of the heavenly things. And the Greek word parable comes from Greek word parabello, comes from two different words. Para is beside, and bello is throw. Here in verses 21 through 25, we read the parable of the lamb. And in connection of context of this parable, I want to share with you one illustration. It was actually used by James Boyce in one of his books, which he slightly actually modified because it comes from another book, just All American History book. Years ago in America, when many people traveled by train and buggies were still common, there was a tragedy at a rural railroad crossing. A carriage containing an entire family was struck by an oncoming train, and its occupants, all of them were killed. So there was an inquest, a court hearing of this case, and the man assigned to watch that particular crossing and warn travelers of the approaching train, he was examined. So they asked him if he was at the crossing that night, as he was supposed to be. He replied that he was. Did you know the train was coming? Yes. It was right on time, as always. Did you take your lantern and go out to meet it, as you were supposed to do? Yes. And did you wave it back and forth to warn that train was coming? Yes. That was the heart of the examination. So after a few more routine questions, the inquest was dropped. The conclusion was that it had been just one of those unfortunate accidents for which there was no known cause. Then years went by. But at the time of his death, the incident emerged again in the gatesman thinking. He was heard moaning over and over, "Oh, those poor people. Oh, those poor people." A friend who was near his bed asked him what he was talking about. And when he explained that it was the accident at the railroad crossing many years ago, his friend tried to reassure him. But there was this careful investigation of that, his friend explained. And you were completely exonerated, you were vindicated, you know, your case was dropped. The gateman then said, "But there was one question they didn't ask me. They didn't ask me if my lantern was lit. It had not been. And the death of the family in the carriage was the consequence." So the point of this story is not about speaking half-truth. The point of this story is exactly what Jesus is teaching us tonight in this first parable in verses 21 to 22. And he said to them, "Is a lamb brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light." So without Christ, without His gospel, the world would be much darker place. You know, places like North Korea or Somalia or in the Middle East, for example, are much darker places than here, where Jesus and the gospel is preached. So here in our text, he began, and he said to them, "Who are them?" Them are these disciples. No, it's actually the multitude that gather when Jesus starts preaching. from the seashore. And then we have this problem with the article. Maybe because Matthew and Luke used this indefinite article a, but actually in Greek there's a definite article, the, before the word lamp. Jesus says, is the lamp brought in to be put under a basket? I'm sure you folks know IKEA stores. They have beautiful lights there. Would you not use it to illumine your house and rooms when you go and buy a beautiful light? It would be very irrational to keep it under a basket or under a bed or in a storage room. No one lights the lamp and hides it. God didn't hide His Son from us. He didn't hide Jesus from you. And before Jesus' arrival, the world was much darker place. And here, we know that Jesus is the light. And He shines in the darkness. He shines in the darkness in our sinful world. He shines in the darkness in our sinful hearts. And so He exposes all sinfulness of all mankind. And God gave us Jesus to light the way. To us whom He saved, He gave us Jesus to light the way to the Father. In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 9:5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as we preach the gospel, there is a light of Jesus Christ to show us the way to the Father. And He says, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. So the King came not to hide, but to reveal Himself and to reveal His triumphant kingdom and be brought to light, this triumphant kingdom. You know, that King, and that kingdom was concealed and hidden before, especially from you and me, from us Gentiles. Are there any Jews here? But He came and revealed Himself to us. He came also to expose everything sinful we loved before, so that we may see and love God who gave us this light, who gave us His Son. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, we are the light reflecting the light of Jesus. And because of that, you can have and love both Jesus and your sin. And then in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And again He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. We have to look what is this verse says through the Christian worldview, in all things. We have to judge everything according to our Christian worldview. You must think like Christian, speak like Christian, live like Christian. With measure you use, God treated you with the gospel. Treat people with the gospel as God treated you. God gave you not what you deserved, and so you should measure accordingly, treat people and give to people what they do not deserve. Shine the light of the gospel you receive so that they may see the light and glorify our Heavenly Father. As I prayed, when we impatient or angry with unbelievers, do you think their lives in order? No. Our life is not in order. But we have God to whom we can go. But these people, they're completely lost. They have nobody to go to and receive help. Be compassionate. Treat people like God treated you. Give them gospel. Verse 25, for the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not even what he has will be taken away. Those who treat people with the gospel, they demonstrate that they receive from the Lord. They receive the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ touch your hearts and transform your lives. If you treat people like God treated you with the gospel, that means you have it. And even more will be given unto you. And you may ask the question, is there a way to receive the gospel, more gospel? Well, the text says so. How? We know through the means of grace. In 2 Peter 3:18, God encourages us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can receive more gospel. So that you could shine the light of Jesus in this world. You remember the Sermon on the Mount? A very similar parable, but actually with some different meaning there. Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The true light of the gospel, the true light of the gospel, even the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, leads people to that light, the glorious light of the triumphant kingdom, that Savior, that triune God. Now we have a second parable here, verses 26 to 29. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. You remember last week the parable of the sower. We learn about four types of soil there. And there Jesus emphasized our responsibility. But here in this parable of the seed growing, Jesus emphasizing the divine sovereignty. What he emphasized, that only God is the author of new life. Only God is the author of new life. In 1 Corinthians 3, in the conflict that described by Paul, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh, and behaving only in a human way. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. Listen carefully. I plant, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Only God is the author of all of life, the new life. So you know, when we don't see fruits in our children's life, when you don't see fruits in your friend's life, your family members, you should not be frustrated. You should not give up. As Pastor this morning says, giving up is easy, but to persevere is hard. So you must persevere and trust the Lord that the Lord will bring great harvest. He promised that to us. Look, what is He doing in your life? What He has done for you. Do not be impatient or frustrated or lose hope. Continue to be faithful in your calling, in your ministry and service, because the kingdom which is triumphant will come, and you will see its very glory. Its very glory. God does His work. Now we have the next parable, the parable of the mustard seed. You know, it's a long passage from verses 30 through 34. And it's in verse 31, it says, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. And we know, brothers and sisters, that botanists know that the mustard seed is not the smallest, actually. But what we know is that Jesus is using here a common literary expression, which was used in His time and culture. It was a proverbial way in Jewish thinking. You know, mustard seed is the size of a needlehead. But it grows pretty big, over 12 feet. So Christian church has this small beginning. And from the world's standpoint, very big beginning. It starts with a man who was crucified and hanged on the cross. And Apostle Paul says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And God will destroy the wisdom of this world. Christian church looks so weak at some points. Our life looks so weak and hopeless at some point. But use what kind of people see God use what kind of people in the Bible? Did He use strongest people, wisest people, richest people? No. Very often, he used people who are foolish. He used peoples who are sinful. Even like David. And what God does, he brings his kingdom triumphant. And as we read along, we see that when this mustard seed grows, it becomes larger than all the garden plants and put out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Now, Christian church is like a tree. Small beginning, but it will grow into triumphant kingdom. And all these birds, I think this representation of us, Gentiles, who come and sit under the shade of this tree and build nests. So here again, we see Jesus in these three parables. Jesus is the light who shines in the darkness, the only pure light in this dark world. And of course, we're speaking about spiritual light. There are many who claim to have light, but only Jesus revealed himself to this world, to us, as the Messiah who fulfilled all the promises that we can trust him. He revealed himself in the Word. And then we have the parable of the seed growing, which teaches us to trust God's promises. All you have to do, faithfully sow. In whatever calling you have, in whatever capacity God calls you, in all that you have, time, treasure, and talents. Trust God. Don't get frustrated or impatient. We don't know the process of the spiritual germination. The Lord is the giver of life. And he promised in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing with which I sent it." You, brothers and sisters, must remain faithful, and it will save whoever God wants to save, and it will also judge whoever God wants to judge. But the proclamation of the gospel is that pledge of the ultimate manifestation of God's triumphant kingdom. Then we see here the parable of the mustard seed. Now Jesus is that little mustard seed. He was the smallest seed, but he grew like a big tree under which all people find rest, like birds who builds their nest on it. And you know, shade is a place where God people are safe. Just think about hot Middle Eastern climate in Israel. There was not much trees. And shade was kind of a symbol of life. That's why it says in the Bible that in Isaiah 4:6 and Psalm 121:5-6 that God is our shade where we find rest. So Jesus is that mustard seed. And the mustard seed is also the Word. It sounds like foolish. And Jesus looks like smallest, but he brings the kingdom triumphant. over which he rules as he rules now over our lives. Jesus is that seed that was planted in your hearts. And that seed bears much fruit, even in your life, as God uses both light, seed, and the gospel to bear much fruit, to bring this triumphant kingdom for His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these parables that teach us of the kingdom. Oh, Father, help us to see when we get impatient and frustrated that You are in control, that You will germinate and bring to life those seeds that we plant. Help us to remain faithful in our calling. Oh, Father, bless us as we want to learn more about this gospel. Ground us deep in Your gospel, that we may not only say these things, but that we may believe these things, trust these things, embrace these things, and live these things out. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.